Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah.
Him and the panel that will be a blessing to every listener on tonight.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. First and foremost, can everybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Can everybody hear me? Okay. All right. All righty. It's a blessing to be able to teach Bible study on tonight. I'm a little geeked up a little bit, so I hope y'all can follow me, and I hope I don't get too ahead of myself. The title I'm using for tonight, this really is to minister to myself. Hopefully y'all can get something out of it. The Lord has been dealing with me in the scriptures and just with everything that's going on around, how I need to change some things. And I think you guys may have heard me say I'm a new person, or it's a new Derek. I'm not the same old Derek. And the Lord gave me some scriptures to look at, and I'm going to try to dive into it. And I like to call myself a preacher, not a teacher. So I hope that you guys can get what I'm saying on tonight, and then hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. But if I was to use a title, I would call it Shaking It Off. Shake It Off. And I'm going to go somewhere with this, and hopefully you guys can follow me. But first and foremost, we're going to start our scriptures. We're going to come out of Mark, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to have my wife come on, and I want her to read from 7 to 13 for me, if she don't mind. If you got a minute, she's going to read for me. All right, we're ready for you.
All right, starting at verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil. I'm sorry. As soon as I did that, I got a call. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Sorry.
Thank you. Tonight we're gonna talk about shaking it off. And it's a very familiar scripture where Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. And what I like about it, what it says, when people may not receive you, and that's where I want to focus on, where you may go into a place and people may not receive you. And as disciples of Christ, and it says he's given us the power. And when we go into places, we have the power to deal with the situation, whatever it may be, because it says there he gave them power. He called them. So if he called you as a disciple of Christ, you have the power to deal with the enemy. You have the power. It says that in the word. I'm not making it up. You've seen it for yourself, that you have the power. And for people will not receive you, it says to shake the dust. Shake it off of you. Shake it off. And I'm going to use the word shake it off a lot tonight, because I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, you know, why wouldn't people want to receive us, receive me? And when they look at you, and I know when a lot of people look at me, all they see is that my father was a pastor. They don't see nothing else. That's all they see. When they look at you, what do they see? All they see is who you are, or whatever you are. We have Sister Oglesby on tonight. When people see her, probably all they see is a teacher. They don't see anything else. When they see Bishop Omar, probably they only see him as a bus driver. They don't know who you are until you show up and you start to show them whose you are. Because sometimes who we are That's who they see. They don't know whose we are. They know who we are, but they don't know whose we are. And a lot of times that's what we ought to do, is to let people know whose we are, because the Bible tells us that we need to die daily. And then when we die daily, that means there ought to be a new person every day. There ought to be a new Derek every day, because something old should die. And when we go out, they ought to see the new person coming, so they should be able to receive what I have saying, because it's not the same old Derek. I'm not the same old person that I was yesterday. So when you see me today, I'm going to be new. So when I go into a certain place, and regardless of what they see or what they claim they see, I should be able to shake it off. That means no matter what people say about me, what people whether they like me, whether they don't like me, we ought to be strong enough to shake it off. Especially in the church, before we even go out to do two by two, can you shake off what people perceive you to be? Can you shake it off? Because you ain't going to have the power if you keep worrying about what people think that you are, or their opinion of you. If I have to worry about what people think about me, I will never ever be effective and doing what God would have me to do, for the simple reason because I haven't learned to shake it off. And when you look at these disciples, and when you look at the disciples, and you look at Simon Peter, he was a fisherman. James and Brother James, one of the other disciples, he worked for his daddy's fishing company. And Jesus knew that when these disciples was going to go into these houses and into the places to represent the Lord, he knew that they were only going to see fishermen. They were only going to see what they were in the community at the time. But when you accept Christ and he called you, he gives you the power, and he gives you the power to also shake off what people think about you. You got to learn to shake it off, because if you can't shake it off, you will not be effective in doing what God called you to do. And when he was sending them out two by two, it's very important. And I'm glad we got the panel and everybody together, because it's very important that we understand when we go out two by two. And I know he sent them out, disciples, two by two. But also, when you're a married couple, you're two. You're two by two. And it's good that you're, well, you know, we're two, but we're one. But when we go out, that we go out strong, and we have to shake off what people's perception of us and our relationships is with one another, because the reason the church is weak is because we're not strong together. And we let people's perception of us interfere with us going out to do ministry. We let people's perceptions of us in our families stop us from doing ministry, because they think that what you was, that's what you are. That's not who you belong to. And we have to learn to shake off what people is putting on us. We got to learn to shake off all the negativeness. We got to learn to shake off all the gossip. Before we even go out two by two, we got to learn to shake off some stuff, because the Bible says he gives us the power to go out and to teach and to preach Jesus and to tell people to repent. That's what we ought to be doing, telling people to repent that Jesus is coming soon. And if you haven't made your mind up, that's what we ought to be doing. That's what our focus ought to be, is to preach Jesus. And regardless, however they come back at us, it shouldn't matter. We should shake it off and keep moving. And what I see now, you got a lot of people in the church that are sensitive and don't know how to shake it off. This is when they first got the power, when Jesus told them to go out two by two. He gave them the power. And what we forget is we don't think we have the power. I don't need Bishop Omar to have the power. I don't need Minister Tobert to have the power. I have the power because he chose me, and I chose him. I have the power to deal with the devil. And what we got too sensitive with, and the reason we don't go out witnessing the way we do, is because we don't have that power and we're not protected. We want to get together in groups and go out in big groups. But he sent them out two by two, because, and he said, don't take nothing with you. Don't take no scraps. Don't take no money, because that makes you comfortable. That makes you lean on to that more than leaning on to the Lord. We have to go out and take nothing with us. The game plan is to teach people how to repent and how to accept Christ as a personal savior, two by two. And we can't do this inside the four walls. We got to come outside of the church in order to go out and do what God is calling us to do. The harvest is ripe. the labors are few because we don't know how to take this. We don't know how to shake stuff off. We're so busy, and I'm the number one included. We're so busy worrying about everything else, we can't focus on what God has called us to do, and that's to go out and preach the gospel. Does anybody got anything they want to say before I keep it moving?
Elder Oliver, I got something I would like to say. I would like to say, first off, doing a real good job. But I would just like to add to what you've been saying. And if we look at what Jesus is saying in verse 8, and it says, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not be put on two coats. So we're talking about leaving aside all of the things that we are used to for the gospel, for the progress of the Lord. So we're talking about setting aside the different things that we are to. So getting out of your comfort zone for the Lord. So that's the difference, is we're so used to certain things, and that's a hard pill to swallow to say, hey, you mean I really got to step out on faith and I got to put everything aside and depend on, someone else to provide for me. Some people can't handle that. So that's where faith comes in, and that's where you have to realize that if you've been chosen and if God said it, you just got to go do it. And sometimes God going to tell you to do something that may seem a little bit uncomfortable because we're so used to having these different things. You're so used to having some money. Imagine right now if God said, go do something right now and leave your money at home, no money. You know, these are the type of situation that we're talking about. If God is telling you to do it, you got to lean and trust on God, because you know that if he told you to do it, then you're going to be all right. You're going to see the outcome. You're going to see the end of it. So I think that when I look over those scriptures, it's motivation just to look from aside to see sometimes we got to be able to get out of our comfort zone and just do what thus says the Lord and go out and win souls, or just even if it's another assignment for the Lord. That's all I got to say.
Oh no! Thank you, Minister Tobert. I was exactly about to go right there, but you working for me, so I appreciate you. Anyone else have any comments so far? All right, we're gonna keep it moving then. One of the things as we grow in the church at Praise Tabernacle and myself, one of the things that the Lord has shown me is when people see me, they already know who I am. And sometimes they know who I am, but they don't know whose I am. And we got to understand that every day that we wake up, we are new creatures. We are new creatures. We are trying to we dying. There's something in us that dies, that when we wake up, we have something new in us to show people that we are serving, we're learning, and we're growing in Christ Jesus. That scripture doesn't mean it's just for people who just get saved that they're new. We ought to be new daily because we're dying daily. And because we're dying daily, that means we ought to be putting on a little bit more patience. We ought to be putting on a little bit more love. So when they see us, and when they see us, before we even start shaking it off, they ought to see the Christ that's in us. And then they know whose we are instead of who we are. And a lot of people in the church want to know, they want them to know who they are instead of whose they are. And there's a big difference. And I was sitting there, and I was in the hospital, and this was when it hit me. I'm so worried about people receiving who Derek is, and I don't have a heaven and hell to put nobody in, but I'm so worried about my reputation that I forgot about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm belonging to him. And see, when you get the understanding of whose you are, you become insignificant to everything else. It's not about Derek. It's not. It's about Jesus Christ. And when you start learning about Jesus Christ and going out two by two during his ministry. That means you don't need nothing beside you. You just go. And when you go, like Minister Tobo was saying, I was going to get to this, you just go and do what he needs you to do. But in order for you to do that, you got to be led by the Spirit. In order to be led by the Spirit, you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have to accept him. And not only accept him, but you have to be in his word. In order to be in his word, you got to study it. In order to study his word, you have to be in Bible study. You have to pick up the word on yourself. That's how you know. And when you know, when you go out there, it won't be the faith. It will be the faith that will lead and guide you and take care of you. You don't need nothing else. And see, this is what the scripture is telling me. You don't need nothing. You don't need nothing. All you need is to be willing and to go. And don't take nothing with you. You ain't got to script it. You ain't got to plan it. You just go. You don't need everyone to gather with you and so you can go, because then that doesn't become you're not going out. And then when you do go, are you going out spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, or are you just going out to be going out? And there's a difference. A lot of people just go out to go out, and they're not being led by the Spirit. But when you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to get results. And when you get results, you're going to see people lives change. You'll see people getting delivered. You'll see people getting healed. You will see it. But now, and what I'm saying is now, and I'm going to say now, because now where I'm challenging us to go out two by two. I'm challenging us to go out in the community, because the harvest is right for us to be out there spreading the gospel, telling people to repent. Jesus is coming soon. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's it. That's all we need. We don't need nothing else. We don't need to take nothing else. And I'm not the one, and my wife, I'm not the one to try to set and plan stuff for everybody. Because when you plan stuff with everybody, it doesn't do nothing but delay what you're supposed to be doing for Christ. If you just go and do it, the Lord will bless it. And you will see the increase, because the Lord will increase whatever it is we're trying to increase. We want new members. We need to go out and knock on doors. We want to see people saved. We got to go where they are. We need to start doing what the Lord has called us to do. If he called you, we ought to be going out two by two. And the thing about it is if he called you, he's given you the power. And see, that's the thing right there. He's given them the power. And when you have the power, you're the devil is no match for you. The devil is no match for you, because you have the power, and not only do you have the power, but you have the authority to tell him to leave you alone, to get out of here. And I believe we lost that in today's church. We're not going out two by two. And I'm not saying people are not doing anything, not saying that, but we're not going out the way the Lord wants us to go out. We want to play with it and let everybody see us go out. We want to post everything that we do. And then again, it's more about you than it is about Christ. So when we're saying, what I'm saying tonight is not about you, it's about whose you are. Because it's whose you are, and if you belong to Jesus Christ, then it's all about him. He's going to get all the glory and everything. That's why when he told them, you ain't got to take nothing. You ain't got to plan it. Just go. And Jesus will take care of everything else. Do anybody have any comments thus far? All right.
Elder?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why these ladies are so quiet on here tonight. You're teaching a real good message, and I thought about your subject. Shaking it off. And when you sent that out to us, my mind immediately went to what was the purpose for Jesus telling them to shake it off. First of all, we must understand, as we go out to minister, we go out to witness, everybody is not going to accept your message. Everyone is not going to be happy that you have arrived. Everyone is, you may get cussed out. You may get the door slammed. You know this firsthand, because me and you done experienced this. You could be knocking on the door, and see somebody in the house, looking right through the window, see them in there, and they still don't come, don't even acknowledge you. And what we've done is practice what you said, that was just shaking us. You know, no sense of being mad, no sense of being upset with anybody. But I took a deeper look into what was the purpose of Jesus telling the disciples to shake the dust. And what I found was that it was customary for the Jewish people, the pious type Jewish people, that when they left a Gentile city, when they left a Gentile or a pagan city, a city that did not really believe in God, did not believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what they would do as a testimony against that city was they would shake the dust off their feet as a testimony, stating we don't want any residue of the Gentile city being on us. So their custom, as if they went through a Gentile city, when they came out of that city, was to shake the dust off their feet against that city as a testimony, stating we don't want any residue, we don't want any knowledge or we don't want anyone to be able to know that we came through that city. That's how bad it was. That they didn't want any record to show that they had came through that city. So they would shake the dust off their feet. So what Jesus was instructing the disciples, the reason why, because of the custom that he was instructing them to do that, was a testimony against the Jews. So the Jews did it as a testimony against the Gentiles, but now Jesus is setting up his kingdom, and he's teaching and telling his disciples to do it as a testimony against the Jews. Remember, he came to his own first. And the previous scriptures talks about he came to his own folk, and they did not receive him. They did not receive his message. And Jesus tells the disciples, whoever don't receive you, whoever don't receive this gospel, whoever don't receive this message of repentance of the Jews, if they don't receive that, shake the dust off your feet. And that's going to be a testimony that you could have, but you chose not to. You could have received the gospel. You could have received forgiveness of sin. You could have received everlasting life. But this is a testimony against you because you rejected it. You rejected the grace of God. You rejected the knowledge of God. You rejected the word of God. And we have a lot of people that sitting in the church now. They sit in the church. They do it year after year, Sunday after Sunday, you know, Tuesday night after Tuesday night, but they are yet rejecting the gospel. What do you mean? They are hearers of the word. They believe in going to church. They believe in going to Bible study. They believe in praying and fasting. They believe in all that. They are hearers of the word. But Jesus says he don't want us to just be hearers, but to be doers. Okay, we need to be doers. So I want to challenge the panel, every Praise Tabernacle member, along with Ed Oliver. I want to challenge you, just look back over the past year. How many people have you witnessed to? How many people have you invited to your church? I mean, just look personally, okay? Look, okay, how many people have I really won for Christ? How many people have I really, you know, been that example and was confident enough to share the gospel? Now, everybody's not going to come to our local church, and that's fine. But it's our job to plant the seed. It's our job to plant the seed. I think it was Paul that said, I planted, and I believe he said Apollos watered. Then he says, God gives the increase. And I want to challenge us that we can believe, if we were witness to 10 folk, to 10 families, to 10 people, at least one will follow you to where you go. But if we don't witness to nobody, if we don't say nothing to nobody, then, you know, and especially within the COVID, you know, where we're living at now, people ain't just, for the most part, showing up to church like they used to. But if we were never given the commandment to stop witnessing. I don't care what's going on in our life, we are commanded to witness. That's why at the end of each service, we read Matthew 28, 19, 20. So shake the dust. Don't take it personal. Okay? Don't take it personal, but open up your mouth and be willing to be rejected. If they rejected Christ, then yes, you are going to be rejected because of, as Elder Alder said, because of whose you are. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Pastor. I'm glad you. I was going to clear that up about to shake the dust off, but you already helping a brother out. We're getting through this. But now we're going to take a break, and I'm going to turn it back over to the bishop, and he has a couple announcements to make before we go ahead and close up out of here.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, my brother. Listen, tonight it's been a few months since we've been on as a collective body. We've had Elder Alder has been doing some of the old Bible studies and things over the past few months, but we are back. And I just want to, for the panel and all Praise Tabernacle members and our just listeners all over the world, those that you are tuning in, I want to challenge you on tonight to help us out tonight with an offer. I'm going to do it myself. I'm not going to ask for a specific amount, but we have two things that we will ask you, and we're going to be doing this every Tuesday night. We just like to solicit the panel, the members, and friends that are partnering in with our fellowship, either to give a donation tonight to our local church, amen, or to give a generous donation to our extended ministry. And let me tell you, Extended Arms is the tool that we use, it's the ministry that we use to feed the hungry, clothe the homeless, to provide shelter, to not just our immediate church, but to our Lawrenceville community. We have fed the football team. We have taken groceries to local homes. We have passed out groceries to communities. We did hamburgers and hot dogs and different things like that for our local community. And we just want you to partner in with us. We just ask that you ask God which one to do on tonight, because they are separate. Extended Arms is under the umbrella of Praise Tabernacle Church, but it's designed so that we don't necessarily have to go into the local church funds, because we have an actual ministry that's designed to take care of these specific needs. So I'm going to do it tonight myself. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to send a little something to both to our church and to our Extended Arms ministry. And I just not asking, it might be $2, it may be $5, it may be $10, whatever the Lord lays on your heart and however he leads you to give. Just remember that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we're not going to ask you for any certain amount or anything like that. We're not going to tell you that your house is going to start leaking and your car is going to break down because you're not giving. We don't believe that. We don't preach or teach that. But we do believe that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And your cheerfulness and my cheerfulness may not be the same, but we do believe the Lord will be well pleased. If you're out there tonight and you would like to give a generous donation to our local church, Praise Tabernacle Church, the Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that's $PTC877. That'll go directly to our finance department. That'll go directly into the account. The other is Extended Arms. Amen. That's our work in the community. That's our official work. Cash App is $EAM. Then it's INISTRY. So you're spelling ministry. So $EA ministry. $EA ministry. That stands for Extended Arms Ministry. So $EAM, and then you're spelling out the rest of ministry. So may the Lord bless you real good. Like I say, we're just asking, and we're going to do this every Tuesday night, and we're just grateful for whatever the Lord lays on your heart, whatever the amount is. Someone said maybe $1, maybe $2. Well, the young lady that Jesus, when he was watching the altar, she gave too much, but she gave from her heart. And that's all we ask you to do tonight. We ask the panel and all our Praise Tabernacle members and our friends, even if we got a few haters out there, and the Lord touch your heart, forgive. We will accept that. Amen. In Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless you real good. And we're going to turn the service back into the hands of our teacher on tonight, Elder Derek Oliver. God bless you.
Thanks, Bishop. We're going to keep it moving. And again, if you feel like giving tonight, please give. You will definitely get some benefits for giving with a cheerful heart. Again, I'm titled tonight, Shaking It Off. And again, I got this, the Lord was giving me a lot of things when I was a couple weeks ago in the hospital. And I'm going to share something about shaking things off. And sometimes, you know, people, again, I said it earlier, look at you and they can see you, all you do is go to church. And that's a title that they will give you, but they don't look of who you are and seeing the Christ that's inside you. And a lot of times, even myself would look at a person and prejudge them. And it's time that we shake that stuff off. It's time that we just try to see the Christ in everybody. And if we can see the Christ in everybody, I think it will make our ministries a whole lot stronger. A few years ago, and this is hopefully this helps somebody, when I found out I had cancer, I was in Cleveland, and I was by myself in Cleveland from where I was living and where my family is about an hour away, 45 minutes to an hour away. And the doctors came in, and they said, you have leukemia, it's a blood cancer, your blood is, you know, and the way they said it, and then they said, well, we're going to go get the local priest to come talk to you, because they could see that I was devastated. And to know me, I've been in church my whole life. All I know is church, church, church. And I believed in the power of prayer. I believed God could heal me. But at that moment, all that just went out the window. It was just gone. And they had a Catholic priest come in my room. And it's funny because they said, we're going to go get the Catholic priest. And I'm like, I really don't, out of all the people to get, one of the last ones I want is a Catholic priest. So when the priest came in, I just got this news, I'm devastated. So my mouth wasn't, you know, I wasn't humbled. And I told the priest, I said, well, look, I believe in Jesus Christ, and, you know, I need someone to pray. I need something. And the guy kept looking at me and said, you don't think I can do it? And I said, no, Catholic priest, I don't, you know, I'm not Catholic. I don't know no Rosemary. And the man said something to me, and he said, well, what if I told you that I believed in Jesus Christ, and I believe that Jesus can heal you? And it just, it messed me up, because this is a Catholic priest. He said, yeah, I got hired in as a Catholic, but Jesus Christ is my personal savior. I keep that title because I want to witness and be a minister to the people in the Catholic Church so they can get it right like I got it right. Now, if you allow me, I'm going to pray for you. And again, begin to pray for me. And then as he began to pray for me, it started sounding a whole lot like what I was used to hearing. And he spoke over me, said, you're going to be a miracle. Now, this is a Catholic priest, and I prejudged him. And you see what I'm saying? But he knew who he was, and all I saw was what I thought I saw. And see, sometimes we got to shake off perceptions of other, shake it off, because you never know who you're talking to or who you're dealing with. Because this is the same priest, the same Catholic preacher that prayed how and told me that you're going to be healed and you're going to use this as a testimony. And he the one said, before when we first got saved, he said it, a Catholic priest. It wasn't one of them bishops from Church of God in Christ or Pentecost, Catholic priest. And I say that is because you got to know who you belong to. And if you know who you belong to, when people come after you, you can shake it off because you know they came after the Lord the same way. And that's why I'm shaking off a lot of things right now. I'm shaking off because when people see me, oh, you used to be a pastor here. Yeah, I see, used to be. That's not who I am or whose I am right now. What you saw last year and all the messages and everything I did last, that's done and over with. I'm a new person right now because the Lord has called me. He's chosen me. And then he said, go do my work. Teach and preach repentance. Preach Jesus Christ, the head of their life. Preach hell is real. He didn't say be nice about it. He just said preach it. Teach it. Go out. And now that I was thinking about this and I was coming out of the hospital, and I was saying I'm going to do more. I told the bishop I'm going to do more because of what I was feeling and how I was feeling. And a lot of people called me, not from Praise Tabernacle, but I got a couple calls from them too, but from other people telling me, relax, don't go, you know, don't. And I'm saying to myself, after all that Christ did for me, and he's telling me I don't need no money. He's telling me I don't need to write a script. He's telling me all these things that he said in verse 8 in Mark, take nothing with you. And that tells me that if I don't need to take nothing, I'm going to empty my tank. I'm going to leave on empty. So everything that's in me, I'm going to be a disciple of Christ. I'm going to follow him. In Luke 9, I just want, you don't have to turn there, but Luke 9, I just want to get that for you real quick. Luke 9:23, and it says, and Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I have enough I got to take with me when I pick up my cross, the issues that I have. So I don't need the money. I don't need the script. I have enough I got to deal with. But at the same time, if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to follow him. I don't need nothing but him. And when you're following Christ, you don't need a whole lot of people. You don't need all you need is a relationship with Christ. And start shaking off everything that's coming at you that's in a negative way. Shake it off. You don't need it. Shake it off. It may hurt. Shake it off. It also hurt Jesus when he had to shake it off. But he chose you. He chose us for a reason. And the reason he chose us is so that we can go out and do and uplift him and do what he's called us to do. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but we need to do more when it comes to going out two by two. We need to do more when it comes out to ministering. And I'm not talking about it as a church, Praise time. I'm talking about as individuals. We need to go out. Because if you go out as an individual, you make your church stronger. When you go out doing it because the Lord put it on you to do it, you make the church stronger. You're just not hiding behind the four walls. And what happens is people hide behind the four walls and they want to look good, especially now on social media. They want to hear their name called. Oh, we knew you was in church. Yeah, but are you doing it outside? Are you doing it outside? If you're not being convicted, and the bishop been preaching hard, and the first lady, they've been preaching hard. If you're not doing it outside, it's all in vain. Don't pat me on the back and say good sermon or good message if you're going to stay the same way that you are, because it's not doing no good. Now, I know some people will say, well, it takes time. It takes time. Well, you know, some folks have been in church 20 years, and all I hear about is what it used to be, what it used to be. But what is it now? What it used to be. Where's everybody at now? Are they going out two by two? Are they even still in the ministry? Or were they pretenders? Were they Judases? Were they even... where they just get up there just to get up there to cause dissension. Because if you're going to be a true disciple of Christ, there are going to be some signs and wonders behind you. You ain't going to be perfect, because the Lord knows I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to stop serving Christ for nobody. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you like me, don't like me. That's between you and the Lord. I'm going to do what God's called me to do, and I'm challenging everybody to start doing what God's called you to do. Mark 6, read it again, 7-13. Take nothing with you. If he called you, that's you, and you have the power. Don't think because he called you that you have the power, but now you have to access the power. Pastor, using illustration is, if you don't turn the light switch on, the light, the power doesn't mean anything if you turn the switch on. If you don't ever study your word, they're powerless. So you can jump up and shout and dance all around the church. If you don't know how to turn that white switch on, you have no power. And I'm just telling you that because, and I'm going to tell it to you like that because that's the way the Lord's giving it to me. And as an elder of Praise Tabernacle, and I just want to send this out there, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor. I want to set a standard. I don't want to be an elder to just sit in the church and be called Elder Oliver. I want to be active. I want to be out there doing what God has called me to do. I don't want to just come there and put on my white collar and sit there and do nothing. The Lord told me to share this with you, and then I'm done. I went to get the collar for the when Deacon Oldsby was being ordained as the deacon, and the collar they gave me was the wrong one. I knew it was the wrong collar, but the other one, it wouldn't fit. I had to order one to get it fit. So I was in church with the wrong collar. Now, only a few people knew I didn't have the right collar on. But it did something in my spirit because now a lot of times people get those collars and they got the wrong collar on. Now, I'm going to let that meditate with y'all for a little bit because some people got the wrong collar. Because if you say that you're something, you ought to be doing what it says that you ought to do. And I say this, and I do this for honor for my father because my father was a pastor. And I used to have to ride home with him every day. And some of the conversations that I've heard about his leadership, it makes me not want to ever get in that type of category of being that type of leader, of just coming to church and being like Saul's wife or David's wife, Michal, and despise him as he was praising the Lord. And all I'm going to say about that is if you can find every problem inside the church and you're not doing nothing to help the church, but you can find all the problems in the church, then you're part of the problem of the church. And I question your loyalty to the Lord. Because the last thing that I'm going to be doing now this year, now that the Lord gave me a new vision and a new thing of looking at things, is going to the pastor complaining what's not right or what I dislike. It's not my church. And we all know ain't no perfect church. But at the same time, I can do my part. And by doing my part is going out there two by two ministering to a world that needs to hear about Jesus. Last month, we had 18 souls get baptized. I'm going to keep reminding you about that because now we need something else to happen. And I know the Lord is leading us in that direction because the harvest is prime for us to go out there and for people to come in and start getting saved, getting delivered, getting healed. You're going to see that the last quarter of this month. I'm not a prophet, but I'm just telling you what the Lord is showing me. You know, these Tuesday nights are going to get better and better and better. Sundays are going to get better. And whenever the bishop throws in a Thursday night, it's going to get better because we're not ministering to y'all. We're ministering to the people in the community. And I don't think y'all understand that. These messages really isn't for you. It's for the people out there that's dying that need to hear that they have a Savior in Jesus Christ. And if they don't accept him, hell is going to be their home. And we'll go out two by two. And that's what our message is going to be. Me and Elder Dighton is going out this Saturday, passing out food. There's no script we need to take. There's nothing we need to do. There's not even a location that we got set up where we're going. But we're going to be in the community because that's what the instructions that the Lord gave the bishop. The bishop gave it to us, and that's what we're going to go do. Now, I'm not saying we can't come together collectively and go out and do it. But as for me and how the Lord's directing me to do it, me and Elder Dighton is going to go out, two elders, is going to go out and pass out food. And I'm challenging every other member, whether you're a deacon, whether you're an elder, whether you're just a lay person, come get some food and just pass it out, normal weekend routine. You ain't even got to say nothing. All the work is going to be right there in the bag. It got everything about Praise Tabernacle, time of the service, everything is going to be in there. All you got to do is be a willing vessel to come and pass it out. If you can't do it this week, fine. Next week, let us know. Everything is set up for us to do ministry. And the Lord is putting on my heart to do it even harder than what we did before. We got 4 months before the end of the year coming up. I want to go out hard these next 4 months. The Lord has been blessing us as a church. He's been blessing me and my family. We got a lot of stuff we can be thankful for. We are thankful for. But I know the key to it is all by going out ministering to a world that needs to hear about Jesus. And if you can take anything out of what I'm saying tonight, I encourage you to step up your ministry, your step up your witness game and go out two by two and start ministering in the community. If we can do that, I'm telling you, you will see some awesome things. And not only see some awesome things, the Lord will bless you in your house. And I'm a witness to that. Everywhere I turn around, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I said last week on D&K, I want every part of my life to be ministry. I shared with my wife, I went to work and I had on a Jesus shirt. And one of the white guy that works on the dock, he just started crying. I don't know what he was crying about. I didn't ask him because it almost scared me. But the Holy Ghost started speaking to me. This is what you wanted. Now go with work and do ministry. I can't make this stuff up. This is what this happens. And if you do the work, if you do the work of the Lord and stop being churchy, I guarantee you the Lord will open up the sky and you will be blessed. I'm a blessed man. I ain't got nothing else to say. I'm going to turn it over to the bishop. Hopefully y'all got everything. If y'all have any comments, y'all can make your comments right now. But I'm turning it over to the bishop, and I'm going to be quiet. Go ahead, bishop.
All right. I think they got some comments. I'm going to let these women go for a minute. Now, you done opened up the floodgate. So let's go. Let's go with your comments. Go ahead, ladies.
Well, I'll come in. Good evening, everyone. This is definitely encouraging, and something that I got out of this message is, it's trust. When those disciples, when they went out, they was on a mission, and they understood that, okay, if the people don't receive, they already knew what to do. So, and I just want to share this on tonight, verse number 12. It said, and they went out and preached that men should repent. They were on a mission. And as I was reading and studying this, I read this quote, and it was saying, and it was a perfect example. And then I just kind of added, what God gave me to it. But it's not falling in the water that drowns you. It's staying in it if no one saves you. So it's not falling into sin, and this is pertaining to verse number 12, it's not falling into sin that damns your soul to hell, but it's staying in it and not repenting because you're not depending on someone to save you, which is Jesus Christ. So there is no sin. There's nothing that you have done that you cannot go to the Lord and ask for repentance. Sometimes it's our pride, or it's we're fearful, like, God, well, I've done so much. I've did so many things in my life. There's no way that he will forgive me. But who's ever listened tonight that needs to be encouraged, I don't care what it is. Repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways. He's waiting for you. We're not waiting on him. He's waiting for us. So think about that. It's not that you're in the water, because some people get nervous. They get scared even when you think about becoming a Christian. Oh, there's no fun in this. I have a lot of fun being a Christian, being saved and witnessing and telling of the goodness of Jesus. So think about that when you think about sin. Sin, when we fall into it, the only way we stay in it is if we don't repent, as if, like I was saying, if some people get scared and not realizing you are in 3 feet of water, you can stand up. But because you're nervous and you're scared and you're fearful, you drown. But then in sin, when you repent, our Savior is Jesus Christ. So y'all be encouraged. Jesus loves you on tonight.
All right. That lady Zachary, that's my baby's mama. What about Tober or Sister Oglesby? Y'all got anything you want to say?
Good evening. So this is Sister Tober. And I wanted to say, you know, like most people have already said, verse 8 stuck out to me also when the disciples were commanded to go out and take nothing for their journey. Oftentimes, all the time, God gives us direction. He gives us instructions on how he wants things and situations to be handled. But the problem is oftentimes we get in our own way. We decide, well, I don't know about that. We question the assignment. We question what we're told to do. So I say we get in our own way because once you start questioning God, when he's already given you a clear-cut description of your task at hand and what he wants you to do, you mess it up. So, you know, for me, it's one of those things where he said, go out on this journey and take nothing. He let you know that everything you need is inside of you. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. Like, it's already there for you to go and complete the task. So as Christians, we need to be careful about questioning God when it comes down to certain things, especially when the message is clear-cut. And just going out and knowing that if God told you to do it, then it's going to be okay. And I love messages like this because it's definitely a message to where it convicts you. It's like, have you done all you can do? Have you spoke to as many people as you could have, witnessed to as many people as you could have? Because we're all servants, no matter who you are, no matter what your title is. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer, you are a servant. So it's our job as Christians to go out and spread the gospel of Christ. So I hope that this message pricks everybody's hearts tonight as it did mine. And just to let us know as the body of Christ, we need to do more. Open up our mouths more. We need to do more, like as a whole. Amen.
All right. That's Lady Tober. All right, who else we got? Sister Oglesby, you got anything tonight?
Yes. It's just amazing that when Elder Oliver, when you were in the beginning and you mentioned me, and you say that people look at me and see that I'm a teacher. That's true. We had a meeting every Tuesday. I'm a language arts teacher, special ed. So every Tuesday we have a meeting. And I always feel like I'm out of place when I'm there. I don't feel like I'm a part of the group. Because I do teach special ed, and there's another special ed teacher also. But, and when the two of us are together, I don't feel like that. But when I'm with the rest of them, I feel out of place because, you know, it's like, you know, you got the teacher that teaches the gifted, the regular and all that. And they kind of look down on, not meaning to maybe, but they might mention, you know, the lower level kids. And I always feel like today, especially when we left out the meeting, I was like, Lord, I just don't feel like I belong in that meeting. I said, but I'm going to continue going. And, you know, I am a part of too. And just like Sister Tolbert said, you know, you are, when God calls you, he puts everything right there in front of you. And everything is there for me. I'm learning a lot of new stuff. Things about special ed, IEPs, getting all that stuff. I didn't know the depth of it, but I'm learning all of that. And, yes, I do feel called to what I'm doing, and I feel like God put me there for a reason. And I'm going to keep going to the meetings. And, you know, my prayer is that my babies will just excel to the point when we do talk about, you know, who did what group did what on a test and how they did. I'm praying that God will allow these special ed kids to just excel to the point that they, you know, they have no choice but to say, wow, you know, oh, look what they did. Because I, you know, I don't know. I just sometimes feel like I'm not supposed to be there, but I know that I am. That's all.
All right. And listen, y'all, we all must understand, just like we saw in the scripture tonight, God is going to give us everything we need to be successful. Okay? God is going to get, whether it's on the work, on the job, whatever area in our home, God will provide everything we need to be successful in ministry, in marriage, okay, in other partnerships. We must always rely, because think about it, when he sent them out, he told them what not to take, because he had already provided the necessary people that would be in place to help sustain them. Yes, they had to eat. Yes, they had to drink. Yes, they needed shelter. They didn't go with any of that because God had already had people in place to sustain them. And that's what we must know. Wherever we are, wherever we go do ministry, yes, it is a faith walk, but we must trust God that everything we need, he's already supplied it. Even though we may can't see it, but the need is going to be met. All right, before we close, Sister Oliver, is she still on, or is she back at work?
At work, but can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I just paused for just a quick moment. I heard the message, but because I kept getting calls, I had to take a call. But I just want to say something to Sister Oglesby, if I can. My sister does the same job that you're doing, and she's been doing it for over 25 years. And I just want you to know your job is so important. So it's way more important than any other job in that school. Your job is very important. And the Lord has equipped you to do it to the best of your ability. And your children will succeed. So just keep shining and doing what the Lord is telling you to do. Don't worry about nobody else and what they're doing. You fit. You fit. I just wanted to let you know that, and I'm going to let myself go back on mute. But God called you, and he got you.
Thank you. All right, Minister Tolbert, did you have any last, I know you spoke earlier, but you got any last thing you want to say? I know these sisters, they done jumped up on us now, so hopefully you got at least a minute worth of something to say tonight.
Yes, Pastor, mainly I would just like to say, first off, it was a good lesson. And it was very thought-provoking and challenging. I'd just like to sum up just saying that we have to realize that this message, this word that was given on tonight is just an example on how we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. So we just got to remember that if, you know, the opportunity presents itself, you got to go witness. And we got to do what we're supposed to be doing and just be on the job for the Lord. And, you know, I think that everything is pretty much been summed up as far as the scriptures go. I think we got a good meaning, but we just got to continue to, you know, just press forward and make sure that Jesus' name is known to those that do not know him. And also to add to one of the things that Elder Oliver said earlier about, I believe he said that it was a Catholic priest that spoke to him during his time frame where he was going through. And you know how we misjudge, or sometimes, you know, things can come from somebody else regardless of the situation. So we got to look at that. There's a difference between, you know, a perception and reality. A perception is the fact of what we may think something is going to be, or we may misjudge something, and then the reality kicks in and,
and we find out that they're completely different. For example, I just want to say this, and I'm done myself. I know that I was witnessed to, speaking of witnessing, by a Jehovah's Witness. I received Christ through a Jehovah's Witness. And at that time, back then, I was like 13 or so. And the way I grew up, when they knock on the door, we normally didn't go to the door, or we, like, for real, we wouldn't talk to them or something like that. So we know all of these different things as far as, well, we assume all these different things, but something could be a complete different reality. You don't know who God's going to place in front of you so that you can be led to Christ, you know. So God can use who he want to use. So we can't just prejudge. We don't know. I don't know if that person at that time was like, well, yeah, I'm presenting Jesus to you, and I do think some other things. I don't know all of that, but I know that they were right there in place for me. And look at how it turned out for me to be able in this place, all because of a Jehovah Witness had witnessed to me at 13, which is, you know, almost 20 years ago. That's, and I just say that's it. So let's just, you know, be mindful of the perception versus the reality. That's it.
All right. And y'all have rose to the occasion on tonight. As Pastor, I am well pleased with what I heard. You guys rock. So that's old cadence. So y'all rock. Great message tonight, Elder Oliver, our first administrative assistant. Our second administrative assistant, Mr. Tober, that lady of our church. Thank y'all so much. One last thing, if you get a chance to read Acts 13, I forgot about that. Read Acts 13, you'll see where Paul and Barnabas had the same experience. Had the same experience where the Jews were upset with them because they were preaching on the Sabbath to the Gentiles. They rejected Paul and Barnabas, put them out of the city, and they were leaving out of the city, Paul and Barnabas, as Elder Oliver told us tonight. They shook the dust off their feet. I just want to encourage you tonight to shake it off. Remember, we asked for any type of donation for our local church. That cash app is $PTC877. Once again, local church, $PTC, that stands for Praise Tabernacle Church, and the number is 877. And also for our outreach ministry, Extended Arm Ministry. That cash app is $E, capital A, capital M, and then spelling out ministry. So EA Ministry, $EA Ministry. We just pray that the Lord will bless you real good. Thank y'all so much. And until we meet again, it might be Thursday night. We'll know for sure in the next day or so. Continue to pray for our local church. We're in the process of trying to upgrade our Facebook live stream. We're trying to do more social media with our young people, working with TikTok, Instagram, all this other stuff the young folks know how to do to be more active in the local church and to have other witnessing tools. They know how to use this stuff. And God has blessed us with a great group of young people at our church. And we're going to put them to work. Man, we're going to put them to work. So continue to keep us in prayer. Continue to pray for the Oliver family. Continue that God will continue to strengthen them for the work and strengthen all of us. Listen, I challenge you on tonight, within the next 5-6 days, until Sunday morning, find somebody, reach out to somebody, tell them about Jesus, and invite them to church. If we don't see you on Sunday, we'll see you real soon. As we leave this place, Father, we thank you, we appreciate you. We thank you that we experienced an awesome word, a challenging and a convicting word on tonight, shaking it off. And God, we thank you that in your word, I thank you for my brothers that were on. Thank you for my sisters that were on. Some of them, it's their first time doing this type of ministry. But I thank you that they were willing and obedient. and they all did such a fantastic job. And I pray that you would continue to give them strength, that your Holy Ghost indwell and camp around about them, give them the boldness, whether that they can preach the gospel, teach the gospel on their jobs, their communities, at home. God, that you will be glorified in our lives as we leave this place that was present. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, says us to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Thank you so much for tuning in to Praise Tabernacle Houston Night Bible Study. God bless you. Good night.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah! Yeah.